Welcome to episode 17 of the City of Champions podcast. In today's episode, we discuss the Dodgers versus the Astros. Then we switch it over to talk about games 2 and 3 of the Lakers-Suns. Hey folks, welcome to episode 17 of the City of Champions podcast. My name is Edgar, your co-host, and I'm joined by my co-host Eugene, here to talk about the Dodgers against the Astros and the Lakers against the Suns. But let's get started with the Dodgers series against the Astros. I feel like a lot happened for a two-game series. A lot of bad stuff off the field, maybe stuff that shouldn't have happened with fans fighting. I feel like it's good to bring that intensity, but once people start throwing punches, it kind of crosses the line. But what were your thoughts on the series overall, Gene?
It was, I wish we would have won both games, man. I hate the Astros. We all hate the Astros. But it was dope, honestly. What I took, like you said, man, I feel like everything that happened off the field maybe overshadowed the actual games a bit. I thought it was dope that Dodger fans basically took over Houston. And I thought we played okay for the most part. I thought the offense could have been a little bit better. Didn't do a great job hitting the ball. Great start by Kershaw. 7 2/3, one run, zero walks, six strikeouts. I think they pulled him. He was like at 80, like low 80, like I think 81 pitches, and they pulled him after 7 2/3. What were your thoughts on that, bro? Did you have any thoughts on Roberts pulling him and not just kind of letting him ride it out?
Not really. I mean, it was we had a big lead. We sort of, you know, blew them out. No need to really push him all that much. I think by the time they took him out, it was like a 5-1 game or even 5-0. Yeah, I think 5-1. So no need to push him. I thought it was great to take him out in the middle of an inning and give him the chance at that standing ovation, right? And
yes, sir.
You see that a lot in soccer where the best player gets taken out with maybe 1 or 2 minutes left so that he can walk out to that standing ovation. And for Kershaw, it was a special standing ovation because, yeah, you know, with his history at Minute Maid Park, I think that's still what it's called, him having a good game and sort of sticking it to the Astros after so much history, it was a really cool moment. Really great picture taken that I'm sure people have seen on social media. So I'm not, you know, mad at Roberts at all. I think it was the perfect time to pull him.
I wasn't really tripping on him getting pulled. I agree with you, bro. It was a kind of like a nice, I thought it was a nice touch by Roberts to pull him so he can get that standing ovation in Houston in a crowd that was like predominantly Dodger fans. Let him get that love that, you know, that he deserves. So I thought it was cool. He pitched great. That was great to see. Dodgers took care of business against the Astros game one. Then we went to game two and, you know, Trevor Bauer struggled a little bit with his control. There are some people that are probably saying maybe the Dodgers should have given him an extra day off instead of pitching him on his regular rest. Let him get a little more rest after that long outing where he threw so many pitches against the Giants. But I don't think it was a bad start. He struggled with his control a little bit, but he was able to kind of settle down and, you know, gave up those two home runs. And he gives up the home runs to the two I feel like most hated Astros, Altuve and Correa. You know, Bregman's up there also, and he gives up home runs to the two of them. So I know he was probably pissed off about that, man. What'd you think about Bauer's start game two, bro?
It was solid again. Some control problems, not a big deal. I think it always comes down to giving up the home run. That's really what kills you. My biggest thing, really, though, was aside from the fact that we didn't hit the ball at all, we had three hits the whole game, is why Roberts threw in Nate Jones in a close game. It was only a one-run game, and he put him in there, and he's not one of our best bullpen arms. Hasn't been with the team all year. And when the game is that close, you sort of expect it to, you know, for him to take a more competitive approach, maybe throw in, Victor Gonzalez in there. And had he done that, we came back and scored a run later in the next inning. So it could have tied the game if we just held them to, you know, 0 runs in that seventh. So that's really the one thing I'm disappointed in Roberts about. He let a competitive game go, and we've sort of seen that a lot this year with him, where he kind of just gives up certain games where he just like doesn't risk top bullpen arms and sort of just throws the back of the bullpen guys out there. And it bit us in the ass this game. And for it to be during the Astros series is, you know, a little bit disappointing. I really wish we would have won that game. They broke our winning streak. Outside of that, you know, our hitting is also responsible. We didn't hit and we struck out a lot.
In regards to Roberts, I think that he maybe didn't use certain bullpen arms because today was a bullpen game. We're recording this on Thursday night and the Dodgers just beat the Giants, but it was a bullpen game today. So I think that Roberts possibly was staying away from some of the bullpen arms, just trying to see what he could get away with knowing that he was going to have a bullpen game. So it is what it is. Sucks that we lost that game. Definitely would have loved to take two from the Astros. But as you said, I thought the offense didn't do its job. They could have definitely done better. And I really, though, even though we scored 9 runs in the first game of this series against the Astros, I don't think the offense was that great either. It was just a lot of walks. We worked a lot of walks, but we didn't really get a lot of hits with runners in scoring position. And that's kind of the stat that I track because it really is the indicator that I've seen. It's really the indicator of if we're going to win or not. It's all about runners hitting with runners in scoring position. Any other thoughts on this Houston series?
Not so much. Again, I wish we would have kept it cleaner outside of the game with all the fights going on. It just seems like anytime there's a fight, it doesn't matter who starts it. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. It's always the Dodgers fans' fault. It's just our reputation that we've accrued over the years. And it's really disappointing, you know, because, again, some people are just trying to go out there, have a good time, and things happen. Fights get started. Sometimes it's not our fault, but we get the blame. Our player or our fans get arrested, that sort of thing. So I kind of just wish that would have not come up. I wish fans would have just, you know, again, brought that intensity, but not taken it to that next level. It is what it is, though. Not much else. I, again, disappointed that we split the series, but we did come home and bounce right back against the Giants today. We've pulled within half a game of the Padres who lost. Again, if we'd won yesterday, it'd be a tie for first, but you know, it is what it is. We've made up that ground. We've broken through our struggles. We're back on track. And, you know, look forward to the rest of the series. Again, 3 more games against the Giants, always a heated rivalry. Now there's fans in the stands. Not quite as many as we'd like to see, but still, it's better than nothing, right? But, you know, a short segment from the Dodgers because we've had a lot going on the Lakers side. Playoff sure. Basketball against the Suns. It's been quite the series so far, and tonight was quite the game. But, you know, let's take a break for a second.
All right, City of Champion podcast listeners, it's time to talk about your Los Angeles Lakers, and we are in full-blown playoff mode. Last time we talked, we covered Game 1. Now we're going to discuss Game 2 and 3. We're recording this Wednesday night after Game 3, and we are both extremely hyped after the big win. Lakers take the series lead 2-1. First game inside of Staples Center, first Lakers playoff game inside of Staples Center in 8 years, even though it was, you know, minimal capacity, the fans still came out, man. So, Edgar, just tell me your thoughts about Game 2, Game 3. What are some things that have stuck out to you in these two games?
Well, notably is that the Suns have legitimate home court advantage, and people forget how much of an advantage that plays in the playoffs, having your home crowd behind you, cheering you on when you get hot, booing the other team. Any other series, a 7 seed wins an away game against a 2 seed and they're praised. But we're the Lakers. And so even though we won Game 2, the storyline was still, you know, the Suns can take this. The Suns are playing well. The Lakers are, you know, got lucky, that sort of thing. CP3's missing. So a lot of storylines really holding us back and people not giving us our due credit.
The home court definitely plays a factor because you see Phoenix's arena, and that shit was rocking, man. And tonight we had the home court, and it was honestly it sucked, man. It sucks that we only can have like 6,000 fans in attendance. It's good that we can have some fans, man, but you know, Dallas is gonna have a full arena. Utah, I believe, has a full arena. Madison Square Garden was rocking. Phoenix was rocking. So you just see, it's just it sucks, man. It sucks for the Lakers that they have to experience, an arena with, you know, a third of their fans in attendance. So that sucks. But I want to give you just some time, man, to talk about your boy Drummond. Cause I know that's your dude. It's not that I'm not a fan of Drummond, but I know you've loved the Drummond pickup from the jump. I've been a little here and there about the pickup, but I will say that he's been playing well. Tell me what you like about Drummond these last two games.
You know, it almost seems like with game two, he got a taste of victory, his first playoff win. Congratulations to him. And he woke up, man, because he is he's gone out there. He's given his quality minutes, getting those offensive, defensive rebounds, getting some baskets, man. He's looking really good around the rim. You know, those layups and easy shots he'd been missing early or late on in the season, but early on in game one, he's really made up for that. And he seems like a different player, more energy. I don't know if it was because LeBron, AD talked to him, maybe Vogel, but he's been a huge presence for us. He was a huge presence in game two. He was a big presence in game three. And I just want to point out in game two, when, you know, we were all sort of begging Vogel for Gasol to give Gasol some minutes, and rightfully so, right? Gasol adds a lot to the offense. But game two, Gasol, while he was in there, Ayton just ate him up. He must have had like eight easy in quick points, easy layups. And I think that's partly because Gasol just isn't able to rotate as fast. He isn't able to get back on defense as fast. And when you've got a guy like Ayton who's so young, he's got a lot of energy, he's got a lot of stamina, a lot of bounce, you need a bigger, more quick, more athletic center down there. And while Drummond might not be, you know, that quick, that athletic, he's still better than, you know, Gasol. So I'm really happy with Drummond, with what he's done. Really happy with what he did today. You could, you know, see that Vogel still sort of favoring him in the early quarters and not so much later in the game, which, you know, makes sense. So again, I'm really happy the way it's all balanced out. I know it's sort of tough for Tress to have to sit this one out because of the matchups, but it's just the matchups, and it's not something that Vogel's doing all of a sudden. He's been doing it, you know, since last year. So I hope that Tress understands that it's nothing against him and he will get some playing time later on. But for now, I'm really happy with that Drummond-Gasol rotation. It's really proven to be the difference, really. I know AD's, you know, play is also a difference maker, but slowing down Ayton in the block, getting, you know, spreading the floor, getting easier shots in there, it's really showing.
I do like the adjustment Vogel's made there with the center rotation, you know, kind of removing Harrell from the rotation for now, because I think what we see is what you said, is DeAndre Ayton's really been a beast, man. He's been averaging over 20 points. He's been averaging a double-double, probably, you know, clearly over 20 points, over 10 rebounds. But we, after game one, we've been able to limit him a bit on the boards, and we won the rebounding battle game two, and today, game three, we out-rebounded the Suns. I believe it was 35-51. So we clearly won the rebounding battle tonight, and I think that's been huge, and I think a lot of that is Drummond just doing a lot of work in the paint, battling for offensive rebounds, getting a hand on the ball, moving two or three guys out of the paint to create space for someone else to come get the offensive rebound. So I think Drummond's been great, man. Great energy, finishing around the rim, and so I definitely like what I'm seeing from Andre Drummond. I like that Vogel's made the adjustment with the center rotation. Do I think Gasol has played great? I don't think he's been playing great, but also I think we have to understand that a lot of Gasol's minutes also have come without LeBron James, and that's one of my concerns this series so far, is how bad we've been playing without LeBron. When he steps off the court, the offense has really fallen apart, defensive rating drops, just all across the board we're just dropping as a team. So that's something I think we have to figure out as we move along the playoffs, is kind of stabilizing our non-LeBron minutes, so that we hopefully don't give up too much when LeBron's not on the court. Someone else I want to talk about is Anthony Davis, man. Horrible, horrible game one. Then there was a report that came out that after game one, he just kept shooting in the gym. Last bus, we're leaving. He's just like, fuck it, I'm going to keep shooting. Stays in the gym, was just locked in. Didn't leave his hotel room, just locked in. And he comes out game two. 34-10-7-3, shot 21 free throws, which is shows you that he's being aggressive. And then tonight, game three, another aggressive game, finishes with 34-11. Gotta love what you're seeing from AD. But Edgar, I don't know how you feel about AD, but I feel like there's more, man. Though he's played great game two and game three, I feel like there's a little bit more we're not seeing from him. I feel like the jumper still hasn't fully dropped the way it did last year in the bubble. I feel like he's still not 100% taking his men off the dribble just yet. And so that gets me excited because he's balling, and I feel like there's a little bit more that he can tap into that he quite hasn't just yet. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, man, you hit the nail on the head. Game two, his shot was visibly not great. He missed a lot, but he was aggressive and got to the free throw line a lot. Luckily, he's great from the free throw line, 18-21. But man, today he looked like a man possessed. He went after it. He was aggressive. He shot well. He was just all over the court, man. He was falling all over the court. And it almost seems like when AD falls, it's good things because it tells you that he's moving around a lot. I'm really happy with what I'm seeing. I know there's some left for him to give. Once his shot starts to fall consistently, he's going to be unstoppable, man. He's going to be unstoppable. And like you said earlier in the previous podcast, he is the X factor. If he plays well, we win. If he doesn't play well, we don't win. And I don't know what happened after game one. I'm glad he got mad at himself. He went, and he even said, right, I don't need LeBron telling me anything. Like, I'm a big boy. Like, I know what I need to do. He took responsibility. And the reason I like that is because whenever guys played with Kobe and they got those similar kinds of questions, it would piss him off, right? But AD came out and said, I can take care of this. I know what I need to do, and I'm going to take care of it. And he stepped up, he owned up, and he took care of it, man. So more to come from AD. You know, he's only scratching the surface.
I'm just excited about AD. I feel like there's a lot more that we can get from him. And I like that he took ownership after game one. And it seems like he's locked in, he's focused, and he's going to be aggressive moving forward. Another dude who's been showing out in balling also is Dennis Schroeder. And I feel like we've both been critical of Dennis Schroeder. But honestly, bro, let's keep it real. That's not what we were saying earlier. Earlier in the season in the pod, I was saying, like, don't pay him, trade him. But if he continues to hoop the way he's hooping, I would not mind paying the man the money he deserves. I like the aggressiveness from Dennis Schroeder. I like his aggressiveness and his determination to get to the rim. And I like that LeBron is getting him the ball, especially in transition or secondary transition. So not a full-blown fast break, but once we grab the rebound, we're bringing the ball up, the defense is still kind of adjusting and getting settled in, get the ball to Schroeder because no one's really set, and he's so fast. Literally, he blows by everyone on the Suns' defense and does a great job of finishing at the rim. So shout out to Dennis Schroeder for hooping and, you know, showing us what he brings to the table, that tenacity on defense and that aggressiveness on offense. I like what I'm seeing. People are saying pay him. And my response is pay him as long as he continues to hoop the way he's been hooping, man.
Yeah, man.
But I'm liking what I'm seeing from Schroeder.
Yeah, and today especially, there was a point in the game where the Suns were, you know, getting closer, cutting into the lead. And Schroeder stepped up for, I think it was 2-3 offensive sequences, took it to the hole, and we needed those shots. Those three plays killed all of Phoenix's momentum. Any shot that they felt they had at catching up, they were just deflated because of Schroeder. And it's one thing to, you know, make insignificant baskets when you don't need them, or make a basket when, you know, the entire team's hot. It's another thing when you're struggling, the other team is hot, and he steps up and just changes the entire dynamic of the game. And that's what he did. And that is so invaluable. That's not something that a lot of players can do. And he stepped up in a big way. Maybe didn't have 34 points like AD, 11 rebounds like Drummond, a lot of blocks or three-point shots, but he was big in the key moments in the game. And I'm really, really happy with his performance, especially with the bench struggling.
Couple things I want to discuss, man, still with the Lakers, are shooting struggles, man. We've been shooting the ball really poorly from the three-point line, man. And I feel like the fact that we can still win games while shooting the ball horribly. Today, we shot 22% from the three-point line. That's way below our average. And you saw kind of right there in the fourth quarter, a little bit in the third quarter, we started hitting some threes and we really blew the game open. Got up, I think it's like 18, 19-point lead. So once we start shooting the ball better, man, I think we're going to start blowing teams out. But the fact that we're still in it while shooting the ball so horribly, I think speaks to our defense and speaks to our ability to get inside the paint and finish easy baskets at the rim. But shots got to start falling, man. And you saw Vogel today gave McLemore a look, gave Ben McLemore a look. Wes Matthews was able to come and knock down some threes. I think Kuzma shot like 2 for 10. KCP's been struggling, and he left the game today with an injury, hopefully not too serious. He said a thigh contusion or a quad contusion. Are you worried, man, about our shooting struggles? Maybe not for this series, but moving forward?
I'm not worried. And the reason I'm not worried is because we, again, like you said, shot terribly today. 7 of 28, 25%. But man, did we pound the ball inside. And boy, did that work. And you're not going to get a center that's much better than Ayton. I mean, you know, Rudy Gobert maybe. But I still feel like Ayton is a bigger threat on the offensive end. And no matter how good a guy like Gobert is on the defensive end, when you've got as many big bodies as we do and as many big bodies that are dynamic and can really move around the basket, it's only a matter of pounding until we, you know, kill their spirits. And we showed this game that if we can't shoot, we can always go inside and still get the job done. As for the shooting, it's only a matter of time before we start, you know, making them. Not a big deal, you know, as long as we're winning when they're not going in. It's only a matter of time before we start making them. These are NBA athletes. It's not going to last forever. And like I said on Twitter, every drought is followed by heavy rain. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen.
Our shooting struggles, me thinking AD still has another level to get to. We haven't even talked about LeBron, bro. LeBron is playing cool. LeBron is doing what he needs to do. But look at the numbers, man. We haven't had a traditional LeBron James game yet. Today, he balled out in the third quarter to kind of get the lead, to push us and get us going right there in the third. But we even haven't even had a full-blown LeBron James playoff game yet. And then today, we're careless with 20 turnovers. So I think with all of those things, man, our role players struggling, poor shooting, AD still being able to get to another level, LeBron not even fully activated yet, right? LeBron is kind of coasting and playing that old man, uncle game at the pickup, at the park, you know, using his size and his skills to get buckets, but he's not full-blown, like, activated and locked in yet. We just have another level to get to, man. And so I'll take the two wins, but I'm not satisfied. Today was a little bit of annoying win. I text you because you're like, you said something like, yo, Lakers need to stop playing around. I'm like, well, shit, that's what they get for celebrating on the sidelines, bro. And everyone's all laughing at them celebrating on the sidelines. You're celebrating like job is finished, man. Job's not finished. Have fun. Cool. But yo, put motherfuckers away. We should have beat them by 20, easy. Bron and AD should have been resting on the bench, should have got some other guys some minutes, let them get some shots up. So we're not at our full potential yet. And with that, we're going to bounce a 2 seed in the West. And the Suns are a very good team, very well coached, disciplined on defense. They play hard, they don't quit. They have a legitimate 2 superstars in CP3 and Booker. And we're going to handle them and bounce them. I've always said since 6. You've said 5. It might be 5. We'll see. But even then, we haven't hit our potential yet. And I think we're just going to get better kind of each series throughout the playoffs as we move forward, man. I want to pass it to you real quick. Because you were talking about how you're getting frustrated with people on Twitter talking about the CP3 injury. And how if CP3 wasn't hurt, the Lakers wouldn't be winning. What are some of your thoughts on that?
LeBron is not nearly 100%. He might be playing at like 75%. So if we're going to talk about injuries, let's talk about LeBron. Let's talk about AD coming back from an injury. Injuries happen. Championship teams adjust. It all comes down to whether or not you can play through them. And, you know, some people can and some people can't. CP3 hasn't been able to. Yeah. So stop making excuses.
And let me jump in here, bro. So we want to talk about injuries. Phoenix didn't deal with any injuries throughout the entire regular season. That's why they're the 2nd seed. And I say that to talk shit to my cousin who keeps rubbing it in my face that he predicted that Chris Paul would bring elevate the Suns to a top four team in the West. And I told him no way that was going to happen. But the only reason the Suns are a two seed and Utah is a one seed is because every other team in the West dealt with significant injuries. Every other team in the West. Denver lost Jamal Murray. The Lakers lost LeBron and AD for extended time. The Clippers are always dealing with injuries because they're soft. McCollum was out for the Blazers. Nurkic was out. Porzingis was out for the Mavericks. So every team has been dealing with injuries. Memphis didn't have Jackson Jr. for a long extended period of time. So every team dealt with injuries throughout the regular season. Sorry, Suns, that you just got hit with the injury bug in the playoffs. We're still, as a team, trying to find our chemistry and learn how to play together because of all the injuries we dealt with throughout the regular season. That's why we don't look as sharp as we should. That's why we're not playing to our full potential yet. That's why LeBron is putting up a pedestrian, you know, and this is pedestrian, bro, for LeBron, but he's putting up like 21-9-7. Having seen LeBron in the bubble all last season, that's not LeBron. LeBron in the playoffs is 30-9-9, 30-10-12, easy. And so, you know, like you said, man, injuries are part of the game. But if we want to talk about injuries, let's talk about injuries because we have multiple players working their ways back from injuries. So sucks that CP3 got hurt. I wish he wasn't hurt. I like CP3. I'm a fan of his game, but I'm not going to use that as an excuse. And I'm not going to let Sun fans use that as an excuse because we both predicted that the Suns would get bounced, assuming CP3 would be healthy. I predicted in 6, you said 5. So I think even if CP3 was healthy, we'd still be up.
Let's also talk about the Suns playing like sore losers. Jay Crowder is the biggest bitch, and I've been saying this since the Heat series, the finals last year. He is such a bitch, and I keep replaying the Kendrick Perkins screen where he just like laid him out, and it was actually a screen for LeBron James, which is funny, and he just laid him out because Crowder is the kind of guy that's always exaggerating. He's always trying to get the most out of the smallest things. He's dramatic. And what happened today after he starts the game with it wasn't a foul. I don't care what anyone says. It wasn't a foul by AD. And he played it up like it was, got his 3 free throw shots, made them all. What do you do for the rest of the game? He had 1 basket. And then on top of that, you've got the play at the very end of the game when Schroeder's driving and mid-air, Booker just shoves him into Crowder, who shoves him again onto the ground. And Schroeder, you know, he fell pretty hard. And that just shows you the sort of sore losers that they are. We lost game 1, and it was a frustrating game. But we weren't pushing people. We weren't throwing hissy fits. We weren't acting like a bunch of punks. You could tell we've not only gone under their skin, but mentally, they've lost the series. They went from thinking, oh, we can take this, to no, you know, it's going to be hard. And that's a big, big difference.
Yeah, man. And I'm happy I was talking with you about AD's post-game conference. I'm happy AD called that shit out, man. That's a dirty play, man. When someone's in the air, you don't push them, 2 hands, shove them. Game's already out of reach. Game's over. Why are you fouling people for, man? If you wanted to go sit your ass on the bench and get fouled out, just grab them or something, man. If you can't stay on the court because you're such a sore loser, wrap them up or something, man. But don't push them. Like AD said, man, that's a dirty play. That's how people get hurt. No need for that. There's no room for that in the game. And so it's annoying, man, that they gotta, you know, carry themselves that way. Y'all were all hyped game 1, home arena, hyped, talking shit, you know, celebrating and stuff. Cool. Now you're on the road. Y'all were all hyped game 1 and game 2. Now you're on the road. Now it's our time to do our thing. Our time to get hyped with our fans and our benches to celebrate and stuff. And y'all got to just deal with it. You don't like it? Shut us the hell up on the court. Don't be fouling and stuff and doing, you know, dirty shit to take out your frustrations, man. That's soft. Any closing thoughts on the Lakers before we switch it up here? We got a special segment coming up.
No special thoughts. I think we need to come out with the same sort of intensity that we came out after halftime today. Maybe we need some words of motivation from the infamous Charles Barkley, who the first thing he said at halftime was, LeBron ain't playing great. And what did LeBron do to start the third quarter? he ate people up. So I want us to come out with that same intensity. I hope KCP is okay. I think he will be, just a contusion. You know, sometimes when you get kneed in the thigh, it hurts. Why risk him coming back? So I hope that's okay. I hope these guys get some good rest and come back strong game four.
Sunday night or Sunday afternoon, we'll get that next game in, and we'll be recording the next episode of the pod on that day as well. So let's take a break. And then coming up, we got a special segment for y'all. All right, City of Champion podcast listeners, we got a little new segment for y'all. We took some fan questions. We got some mailbag, some questions from some of our listeners, some of our fans, some of our followers on Twitter. So myself and Eddie are just going to try to knock some of these out and hit y'all with some of our answers. So we got about 5-6 questions for y'all. And so here we go. So the first question coming from at Parades on Fig Street 9, Edgar. So he's asking us, do we think that Vogel is going to keep Drummond in the starting lineup, or do we eventually think he'll go smaller with maybe Alex Caruso, Wesley Matthews, or another Laker in the starting lineup and move AD to the 5? So what are your thoughts, having kind of seen how this series has played out? You think Vogel sticks with Drummond at the 5?
I think he'll stick with Drummond. I think he had a plan for Drummond since the beginning, and it's sort of finally starting to prove out. There might be instances where we go small, maybe later in games, because that's sort of how he's been doing it. You know, go big early, go small later. He might switch it up, but for the most part, I think he's going to keep going with Drummond. And I feel like this question came in after like game one when Drummond struggled. But ever since, you know, game two, game three, it's been a different story, and it's, you know, been good so far.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think you hit it right on the head, bro, where you said that later in games. So I think later in games, we will see Vogel maybe go away from Drummond and go. We've seen him go with AD at the 5 and Caruso in there. And we've also seen him like in the fourth quarter go with Gasol at the 5 as well. But as far as the starting lineup, I find it hard to see a series where Vogel removes Drummond from the starting rotation, honestly, for the rest of the playoffs. So I think Drummond is pretty much cemented in there. That's his spot. That's the starting lineup moving forward. Our next question comes from No More Mr. Nice G. No More Mr. Nice G. And he says that the Lakers have seemed to sweep the idea of a parade under the rug. Have we heard anything about a Dodgers parade?
I don't think it's going to happen. There might be. I know they just recently added all the promotions to the Dodgers calendar. You know, a lot of bobbleheads, a lot of, you know, Viva Los Dodgers is coming back. So I think anything that happens is going to be within like the stadium grounds. But the idea of having a parade, especially right now, just doesn't seem realistic, again, because we're dealing with COVID. The state recently came out incentivizing people to get their vaccines, and they just came out with that today. So they're really making a push to get people vaccinated, which tells me that people aren't vaccinated. And as long as people aren't vaccinated, I just don't see the city of LA signing off on something like that. Because at the end of the day, right, it's not up to the Dodgers. It's not like they could say, let's have a parade. The city's got to be behind them, because it's a big, big thing to organize. So maybe later in the year, but again, the later it gets, the less likely I see it happening. Again, I just see it more of like a Viva Los Dodgers type of event, or maybe something at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, man, I agree with you. One, I don't think it's going to happen because of the pandemic and, you know, just the challenges we've had to kind of get past that as a state. And then two, it's been a while, man, since we won the World Series. I don't see the point. It'd be weird doing it now. It'd be weird doing it at the end of the season if we didn't win a World Series. The best case scenario, honestly, is winning this World Series again and celebrating both titles. That would be the best thing. But I personally, as a Dodger fan, being a huge Dodger fan, I don't care for a parade now. I don't care for a parade at the end of the season unless we win another championship. But if we like get bounced in the first series and then they're like, oh, we're going to have a parade celebrating our World Series last year, like, that shit is weak. I'm good off that. But let's check out our next question coming from Micah Harry 21. And he asks, who would we realistically give up for Jacob deGrom? Edgar, he's under contract until He's 36, so that's 4 years left on his contract for $128 million, so more than $30 million per season. He's nasty. He's clearly still the best pitcher in baseball, but we can't discount his age and his contract. You'd be paying him $30 million into his age 36 season, so it's kind of like, do you need him?
My concern is he's not young, and he throws hard. And for guys that throw hard, all roads lead to Tommy John surgery. So I don't see the point in giving up anything for him at this point. Re-signing Bauer would be a smarter thing to do. If I were to trade up for someone where I had to give up a lot, I would go after Tyler Glasnow. He's 27 years old, and he's a monster, man.
And it's crazy because Tyler Glasnow, we faced him in the World Series, and he kind of struggled, but he's really taken a leap from last year to this year. But I'm going to answer the question, who would I realistically give up? And I'm answering this based on DeGrom's age, his contract, and looking at our current rotation. So I'd offer them Keibert Ruiz, our top catching prospect, our top number one prospect, a top 100 prospect in baseball, just for the fact that we have Will Smith, and it seems like Ruiz is a bit blocked, and we have a ton of other catching prospects in our top 30. I'd offer probably Josiah Gray also, another top 100 prospect, our number one pitching prospect, right-handed pitcher. He's a top 10 right-handed pitching prospect. And then I'd probably offer them Tony Gonsolin, another young arm, controllable starter for sure. Could be a top 4 starter on a rotation. And that's it. So I give you two top 100 prospects, our two top prospects, and I give you Gonsolin. If they want another prospect, maybe I throw them like a lower level top 30 prospect, you know, somewhere between 15 and 30, and you got to eat some money, something like that. Now, people might say, like, that's a horrible offer. The Mets won't take that. Fine, don't take it. I don't care, because I don't need DeGrom. And we have plenty of arms. So that's how I'm operating. I don't need it. It'd be a luxury. We're good. So I'm not going to offer you anything. I feel like that's a fair offer, and maybe I'm even offering too much. Some Dodger fans might be like, you're offering way too much. Some Mets fans might be saying, I'm not offering enough. But that's what I'd be willing to give up for DeGrom. All right. Let's go to our next question, man. JWatson0984. So he was just wondering, like, do we like any off-brand teams? He throws out Duke. He throws out the Yankees. He's like, do we like any off-brand teams? He also wants to know, do we have any NFL teams? We haven't talked football. We haven't really talked about our other sports teams. We kind of keep it on City of Champions. We keep it strictly Dodgers, Lakers. But Edgar, just you go first.
So for starters, I do not have an NFL team. I grew up watching the Buccaneers. I used to like the Chargers back in the Junior Seau days. There was never really an LA team that I could follow. You know, the Chargers. I mean, the Raiders went to Oakland. The Rams went to St. Louis. So I was never around that culture. So I really felt left out in terms of football. Sort of piggybacking the Buccaneers and the Chargers. But my other off-brand teams are Duke, who I've been watching for a while. I've got my number 22 Jay Williams jersey back when when they won the national championship. I remember getting that right after they won. Outside of that, I'm a big, big soccer fan. So Man United is my team. Been following them for a long time. I think 2003 was the year, back when Ronaldo was still a kid, back when they had Paul Scholes, Rooney was still a kid, you know, the good United years. But yeah, you know, Man United, outside of the Dodgers, Lakers, those are the three teams that I watch religiously.
For sure, bro. So in regards to me, USC football, when it comes to college basketball, I'm a little bit of Duke, a little bit of USC. Don't really root for a soccer team. As far as baseball, I don't think I root for really any other teams in baseball. I'm pretty much just Dodgers. Basketball, same thing. I'll root for players, but I'm pretty much just a Laker fan when it comes to basketball. In football, is the Rams. I am a Rams fan. But even then, I mean, I'll watch and I'll keep up to a certain degree. But my primary focus is on the Dodgers and the Lakers, like year round. Even when it's football season, even when, you know, I'm watching summer league, I'm watching spring training. I'm, you know, checking for the rumors and stuff when it comes to basketball and baseball. When it comes to the Lakers and the Dodgers, So all the other sports, you know, I'll dabble in them. I'll watch, you know, don't get me wrong. I enjoy football. I enjoy soccer. And I enjoy all these other sports. But I'm primarily sticking to the Lakers and Dodgers. But yeah, let's hit our last question, man. At Joey Zaza. He says, first playoff game back at Staples Center in 8 years. How do we think the players will respond? And what do we expect from the fans? So we had that tonight, Edgar. So before tonight, what were you thinking? And then what did you see tonight that you liked? Or what were your observations?
Like I said, I thought LA Life would be rocking, popping. I didn't think inside would, you know, be very intense. 6,000 fans is not that many. For some reason, the Clippers were allowed to have more fans than we were. You could tell, like, they had the front section sort of like blocked off with the Laker family banners. So there weren't even that many people sitting there, which, you know, is like I said, it's unfair that the Suns get a legitimate home court advantage and we don't. Even the fans that were there, even if they were screaming their lungs out, it's still not a critical mass of fans to where it could have made a big difference. I just hope we get to the June 15th, you know, open where we can have a full arena. I think then it'll be huge. I think they're going to blow the roof off Staples Center. I think LA Life's going to be crazy after the game, before the game. It's going to go back to the old days, you know, the Kobe days, rest in peace. I hope we can sort of, you know, reach that level or get close to it.
Yeah, I would say before this game, I really thought Staples Center was going to be rocking. And not that it wasn't rocking. It's just there was only, you know, a little bit more than 6,000 fans there, I think. And so you can only fill up the stadium with only so much noise, right? With only a third of your capacity there. But even then, I think the players responded to it well. In the post-game, LeBron said that they could feel the crowd energy. A couple other players said that they could feel the crowd's energy and the fans' energy. And you saw the players having fun on the bench. You know, Schroeder doing push-ups after the hard foul. So the players definitely were feeling the energy of the home crowd, even if it wasn't really rocking the way we'd like it to be, right? Full capacity, extremely loud. But we'll get there, man. We got to just keep winning games, get to the next round, get to the next series, and we'll get to that date where the governor is going to open everything up in the state of California, and hopefully we can get back to full capacity, and then we're going to take it to another level, man. A playoff game at Staples, Lakers, full capacity, man. It's been a minute. And yeah, man, all these 18,000 fans cheering for Bron and AD in the playoffs, making a championship run. The players are going to love it. The fans are going to love it. The city of LA is going to probably not love it because we'll probably be out in the streets rioting and shit. But yeah, man, it's going to be great. I can't wait. You see the Suns fans and you see the Mavericks fans. You see all these fan bases that can, you know, go to these games, and you're definitely jealous and a little annoyed by it. But we'll get our chance, man. We got to just keep winning games. But yeah, man, that'll do it for this episode, man. Thank you to all of those that shot us some questions for this episode. We appreciate it. We'll make sure to tag you when we post the episode so you can make sure to tune in and hear our responses to your questions. And all of our listeners, thank you for the love and thank you for the support. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at @_cityofchamps. We've been doing some sticker giveaways for those that are interacting with us, retweeting, you know, our certain tweets or sending us questions for our episodes. So be on the lookout for that. Check out the shop on cityofchips.com. A lot of new merch we're getting posted up there. So go show some love, show some support. We appreciate y'all. Peace.